Thank you very much. And good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for attending today's conference call on the upcoming changes to the perinatal levels of care designation. My name is Lance Kovacs, Regulatory Policy Manager for IHA, and I'll be the moderator for today's call. A couple of quick housekeeping items before we get started. You should have received copies of today's presentation with the confirmation email that was sent out yesterday. In addition, we have scheduled some time for Q&A at the end of today's call. Finally, please note that this call is being recorded and will be available at a later date on the IHA website. Now, as most of you know, in the fall of 2016, the Perinatal Advisory Committee recommended that the Illinois Department of Public Health update the current perinatal levels of care designations to better align with the American Academy of Pediatrics 2012 levels of care. This recommendation and ultimately decision by the department to accept that recommendation has raised some concern among IHA members on what these changes will mean for their hospitals and designations. The department has asked for this opportunity to speak with hospitals to explain further the reasons and backgrounds for this change and what the next steps will be. With us on this call is the Department of Public Health Director Nirav Shah, Dr. Bo Batten from the SIU School of Medicine and the Chair of the Perinatal Advisory Committee, Amanda Bennett, epidemiologist for the Illinois Department of Public Health's Office of Women's Health and Family Services, and also on the line is Shannon Leitner, the department's deputy director for the Office of Women's Health and Family Services. IHA thanks them for their time today, and without further delay, I will turn the call over to Director Shaw.
Thank you very much, Lance. We very much appreciate IHA's willingness to help us organize this call. I'd also like to thank everyone today for joining. We at IDPH are delighted to be able to brief each and every one of you on where we are with respect to perinatal regionalization in Illinois, and more importantly, what our plans are for where we'd like to go. As Lance noted, the order of operations today is as follows. I'll kick things off with an overview and then turn things over to Dr. Batten, the chair of our PAC, to provide a clinical perspective, and then we'll turn things over to Amanda Bennett, who is IDPH's principal MCH epidemiologist, for a discussion of the survey tool that helped inform some of our results. Before we go into the slides, I'd like to talk about a few objectives that we have for today's call. The first, and really the most important, is that we intend for today's call to be an opportunity for us at IDPH to be transparent with each and every one of you in the provider community with respect to our plans for levels of care and the ways in which we are hoping to move to update the current system we have. Part of that transparency includes us being deliberate in working with IHA and the hospitals, each and every one of you, so that you are aware of what's going on. The reason that's important is that we have intended and fully have built into the system multiple opportunities for each and every one of you to participate as we go through this process and, of course, to ask questions starting today. The second objective today is that we want everyone to understand not just the what of what we're doing, but the why, the policy rationale that underlies why we've intended to start moving in this direction. Amanda will be able to elaborate on the locate survey tool, which really does show the why behind the what. The third thing that we'd like to do is to really make sure that the timeline on which all of this work is doing is well presented and well understood. There is no need to rush to the exits for anything here. The changes that we're going to be making will be occurring over a multi-year period, and we understand that in order for each and every one of you at the hospital management level to think and plan strategically, you have to know what the future looks like. One of the things that we hope to help you understand today is what the glimpse of that future looks like to help you start planning strategically as we move through this process. And then fourth, as I mentioned a moment ago, we understand that there are quite a few questions about the locate survey that each and every one of you participated in, and I'm delighted that Amanda Bennett will be here or will be joining us in just a bit to peel back the curtain on what locate was, what it looks like, and most importantly, how you can interpret your results when they are furnished. So, on to the first slide, or slide two. Illinois has, for many years, had a formalized regional perinatal health system. There are currently 10 administrative perinatal centers across the state who are responsible for administering and working with the birthing hospitals in their region. This regionalized perinatal health program is set forth in section 640 of our code, which is lovingly known as the 640 code. And this is really the section that sets forth the perinatal regionalization, particularly the neonatal aspects of it. And that's the section that would be undergoing major surgery as we start updating the neonatal levels of care system. On the next slide, you kind of see a schematic of what this regional perinatal network structure looks like. The administrative perinatal centers that are at the center of this work really as the state's agent. The levels that each hospital are assigned are established by administrative rule, and each hospital undergoes a designation and then redesignation process every 3 years. These designations include site visits as well as a review of each hospital's resources as well as their records. On the next slide, just a map kind of showing the breakdown of these 10 administrative perinatal centers that comprise approximately 122 birthing hospitals and two birthing centers across the state of Illinois. On the next slide, hospital designations. This slide shows the current status, the current hierarchy of hospital designations within the neonatal levels of care system. Every hospital, it's important to note, is given a designation, even non-birthing hospitals, which are given a level zero designation. The other important point to note that's noted on this slide is that Illinois is the only state to have what is called the level 2E, or a level 2 hospital with extended neonatal capabilities. These are hospitals that are designated to care for patients who have a moderate risk and hospitals that thus operate a special care nursery. Right now, Illinois is the only such state to have this hybrid designation, and it's something that's under consideration as we move forward into the future. On the next slide, in 2012, the American Academy of Pediatrics issued new recommendations on neonatal levels of care. Those recommendations included a new level 4 neonatal designation. Then a few years later, in 2015, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, as well as the Society of Maternal and Fetal Medicine, issued a joint recommendation that really for the first time recommended that hospitals create designated maternal levels of care. Now, a few notes on these. The first is the AAP guidelines that were issued in 2012 do not recognize this level 2E designation. And so as we move forward with this revision and updating of the regionalized perinatal system over the next several years, the level 2E designation will be going away per the AAP guidelines. A few other notes. The first is that this level 4 designation that was ushered in under the 2012 guidelines are really truly for hospitals that have the capabilities to perform the most complex surgical procedures. Each state probably only needs just a small handful of those. Moreover, the AAP guidelines right now are 5 years old, but we also understand that AAP is about to reaffirm the recommendations from these 2012 guidelines in short order. On the next slide, how did we get to where we are now? As Lance noted, IDPH worked with its perinatal advisory committee to create a special levels of care task force to study the precise issue of whether Illinois should update its perinatal regionalization approach to reflect the recent guidelines of the 2012 AAP. The task force voted to recommend that IDPH adopt both the AAP neonatal levels of care as well as the ACOG maternal levels of care recommendations. That recommendation went from the task force up to the broader perinatal advisory committee, and the larger PAC voted to recommend that IDPH take action on neonatal levels of care, as well as maternal levels of care. As Amanda Bennett is going to note in a bit, the data that we used to arrive at this decision was from the LOCATE tool. This was not a decision or an analysis that took place in a purely theoretical realm, but rather it was one that was based on the latest epidemiologic data that would help us understand the implications of moving and adopting toward the 2012 AAP guidelines. On the next slide, so where do we go from here? Well, with respect to the maternal levels of care, that revision, that updating to our regionalized network requires legislation and will not be addressed right now during today's conference call. But it's important to note that our current rule, the 640 rule that I mentioned earlier, is at the status quo as it exists today, already outdated. As each of you knows, it has internal flaws in it and is in sore need of updating. To adopt the neonatal rules and the neonatal approach that was set forth in the 2012 AAP guidelines, we're really looking at a wholesale rewrite of these neonatal levels of care codes. We're not going to be doing that in isolation, however. One of the reasons for today's call is to discuss the working groups that we are establishing to help IDPH rewrite the 640 code in order to make sure that our adoption of the AAP neonatal levels of care for Illinois really truly modernizes the system in a way that's best for the entire state. On the next slide, the working groups that we are establishing. First, a few preliminary housekeeping notes. The first is that all the work group meetings will be subject to the Open Meetings Act. This means that each and every work group meeting will be public. We have no intention of doing any of this behind closed doors. These meetings will be public, such that even if you are not necessarily on a working group, but have an interest in contributing and offering comment to that working group, we encourage you to attend. All of the notices for these meetings will be posted publicly and will be widely, and the agendas will be available beforehand so that any interested party, particularly those of you on this call, can offer commentary to the working group members and to IDPH. In order to make the work groups usable and make sure they don't bloat, we are limiting them to approximately 6 to 8 people. So who are we looking for on these work groups? I want to pause here and just offer my view on this. Our approach to these work groups is that we really and truly need input and expertise in how to create the best system of neonatal regionalization for the entire state. The corollary of that is that we are looking for folks to advise us on the best system for the entire state, not necessarily what's best for any particular hospital. We're looking for individuals with experience in a wide-ranging set of areas. We're looking for folks who really know the intricacies of how neonatal systems or perinatal systems work. We're looking for folks that know how transfers are affected. What are the ins and outs of the 640 code? What are the pitfalls that can occur clinically and otherwise if a baby, a neonate, is not taken care of at the appropriate leveled hospital? Really and truly, it's not about any one particular hospital here that we're looking for on these work groups. It's about individuals. It's about individuals and the experience that they bring. So we need folks who work in big hospitals. We need individuals who work in small hospitals. We need individuals who work in academic hospitals. We need individuals from non-academic hospitals. We need folks from rural hospitals. We need folks from urban hospitals. But it really, truly is about the individual and the experience that they bring to the table. So what are these working groups going to look like? Well, right now, we have slated 5 working groups. As noted on this slide, one work group will take up issues of designation and redesignation and transfers. Another work group will address issues and concerns particular to levels 1 and 2 hospitals. Another work group will take up those issues as they relate to levels 3 and 4. A fourth working group will specifically address the issue of transfers, which is a critical area. That's, in fact, the crux of a neonatal regional or any regionalized system is affecting useful and timely transfers. And then a fifth working group will take up the issue of site visits. There have been some discussions about another working group to talk about implementation. Such working group will undoubtedly be formed, but right now we want to make sure we get the broad strokes of what the rule should look like first. And finally, what's the timeline for all these changes? IDPH anticipates that this work will take approximately 2 years to complete. And I want to emphasize, this is a long process. It will be a marathon and not a sprint. For that reason, we do not advise that any of you who are on this call make any changes to your current system. There is no need to rush to the exits at this point. The changes that will be made are years away and, of course, will occur with ample opportunity for individuals from hospitals to sit on working groups and contribute the viewpoints and thoughts. There are no immediate changes that are going to be made. We'll be working with PAC to make the final selections for the work groups next month. We ask anyone who is interested to submit their CVs to Shannon Leitner by the first week of February. And I understand from Shannon that we have already received dozens upon dozens of CVs already. So, in closing, before I turn things over to Dr. Batten, I'd like to thank everyone on this call for your years of hard work. Our perinatal system in Illinois really and truly leads the country with respect to regionalization, and I want to make sure everyone is aware of that. This system didn't spring into being just because of some rules that IDPH put on a page. The system works because of the work that each and every one of you and your hospitals does on a day-to-day basis to make it work. Now, at the same time we lead the country, it's also time for our regionalized system to evolve. And IDPH believes that implementing the evidence-based guidelines from AAP is really and truly at the core of that evolution. So with that, I'm going to pause and turn things over to Dr. Bo Batten, who is the chair of our PAC, for some clinical commentary. Dr. Batten, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Dr. Shaw. Good afternoon, everybody. I just wanted to give a little more input into the sort of data behind this, taking on this process. PAC first started considering adopting new levels of care well over a year ago. The information that sort of brought this to our forefront was the observation that the infant mortality rate in Illinois has consistently been above the national average for each of the last couple of decades. The apparent rise in pregnancy-related maternal mortalities and morbidities in the state. And the finding that the incidence of very low birth weight infants who are born at non-level 3 hospitals has been steady at around 20% for the last decade. VLBW infants are infants with a birth weight below 1,500 grams, and they represent the infants our most vulnerable, smallest patients with the highest morbidity and mortality rates. The incidence of 20% is above the Healthy People 2020 goal of 16.3%, and outborn birth in this population is clearly associated with worse infant outcomes. When considering ways to address these concerns, it became apparent that the current perinatal code was ill-equipped for a variety of reasons, one of which being it hasn't been substantially revised in quite some time. There are many examples of this, but it incorporates different levels of care. It doesn't address the maternal levels of care, which were discussed previously. It refers to things like ICD-9 codes, which are no longer used. And it doesn't necessarily explicitly consider community needs, geographic location, or the potential impact on regionalization of perinatal care for various levels of care designation. It's our hope that by taking on this process in collaboration with many, many people throughout the state, that revision of the perinatal code, including but not limited to adoption of the AAP levels of neonatal care, will allow for better and more appropriate regionalization of perinatal care, specifically for critically ill or high-risk mothers and very preterm infants, in a manner that incorporates maternal levels of care, considers neonatal surgical volumes, and is consistent with what is being done in other states. It's very much our hope that this will lead to a reduction in the infant mortality rate through fewer VLBW infant births outside of non-level 3 hospitals, as well as a reduction in pregnancy-related maternal deaths through accelerated transfer of high-risk or critically ill mothers to hospitals who are able to provide a higher level of care. We very much hope to make this an inclusive process, and I just want to underscore the comments made by Dr. Shaw along those lines, and hope to hear from people from across the state so that we can go about this in the right way, in a manner that is best for the women and infants that we serve. So now I think I turn it over to Amanda, who's going to go over some of this data in a bit more detail, specifically the locate tool. Amanda?
Dr. Batten, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Amanda Bennett, and I am an epidemiologist at IDPH with the Office of Women's Health and Family Services. And my role is really to provide technical assistance and scientific advising to the state as it relates to programs and policies concerning maternal and child health. And I'm going to give you all a very brief overview of LOCATE, or the Levels of Care Assessment Tool, which we have used in Illinois to help us better understand levels of care. So let me give you a little bit of background on LOCATE and how we have used it. As I mentioned, LOCATE stands for Levels of Care Assessment Tool, and it is a survey of hospitals about their obstetric and neonatal practices, services, personnel, and resources. The intent of the survey is to estimate maternal and neonatal levels of care of the facility based on a combination of responses to the survey questions. And this survey was developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and it was field tested in two states prior to Illinois using the survey. So to estimate the levels of care, LOCATE is tied closely with the criteria that have already been discussed, the 2012 American Academy of Pediatrics Policy Statement on Neonatal Levels of Care, and the 2015 Consensus Statement on Maternal Levels of Care from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine. Both of these policy documents outline specific resources, services, and personnel that would be expected in various levels of care and are setting the national standards for regionalization as it relates to neonatal and obstetric care. And these policy statements are quite complex and involve many, many aspects of care. And what LOCATE does is it attempts to drill down these policy statements into concrete categories and services that can be assessed through a fairly quick and objective screening tool. It attempts to establish the minimum criteria necessary for each level of care, but it is certainly not intended to be a comprehensive assessment of levels of care. It attempts to give a best estimate based on certain services and resources that are likely to serve as good proxies for the overall level of care in a facility. And to give you a little context as well, the survey itself had a series of 10 questions on neonatal care and 11 questions on obstetric care, and follow-up questions off of the base questions in those sections. Those questions for both neonatal services and obstetric services are answered by the hospitals, and then a series of logic trees are applied to estimate the level of care. And the overall LOCATE result is really created through this complex algorithm that results from the accumulation of responses across all the questions in that section. So, ultimately, to be classified as a certain level by LOCATE, a facility needed to meet all of the minimum criteria for that level. So if you have the slide set I prepared in front of you, I would call your attention to slide 6, where I have a few slides that describe how IDPH has used LOCATE to this point in time. And I first want to emphasize what we are not using it for. LOCATE is not and will not be used for regulatory purposes or designation purposes. It's not a comprehensive tool, as I mentioned, but it really is meant to be a good sort of quick objective estimate of the level of care according to the AAP and ACOG guidelines. It's not designed to relate to our current perinatal code requirements. It's tied to those national policy statements. And locate is not intended to be any kind of substitute for the thorough site visit process that would review a hospital in relation to its Illinois designation of level of care. So instead, the way we are using locate is to help us better understand our current birthing hospitals and our state system in relation to these national guidelines. It has helped us clarify the differences between our state code and the national recommendations. It has also helped us describe how our facilities are currently functioning in relation to those national guidelines. We've been able to analyze regional differences in services and the availability of personnel, and we've also been able to describe geographic patterns of access to higher levels of care for patients throughout our state. And another aspect that Locate has enabled us to do is to try to understand consistency between neonatal and maternal levels of care in Illinois, since the maternal levels of care are new and not included in our current state code. We're also using Locate to analyze outcomes by level of care. And up to this point in time, we've focused on neonatal outcomes, but also hope in the future to do further analysis on maternal outcomes. But from Locate, we've been able to look at how various levels of care and even specific resources impact neonatal mortality, and I'll show some of those findings in a few moments. We also will be providing facilities feedback on their Locate results, and I'll describe that in more detail at the end. So on slide 10 of the Locate slide set, I start to describe the results for Illinois. And in our state, we were able to get all 120 birthing hospitals that were open at the time to complete the survey. That includes four hospitals in St. Louis that are part of the Southern Illinois Perinatal Network. This was a really great achievement, and we thank all of you and your facilities for participating, because the ability to analyze our statewide system and have valid and useful results from that really depended on getting participation from all of our hospitals. So we thank you for that. Illinois is also really the first large state that is implementing and analyzing Locate on a statewide basis, and we're the first state that has linked our results to vital records files to analyze the infant outcomes. And I say all this to provide further context that, again, Illinois is on the leading edge of what is happening nationally around perinatal regionalization and examining how to improve our levels of care and systems for care. So slide 11 shows the overall distribution of levels of care for our current IDPH Illinois system and the Locate neonatal results. And even just the two pie charts on this slide highlight some of the main differences in our current system and the AAP levels of care. So when we look at our Locate results, 39% of our birthing hospitals were estimated to be a level one under the AAP guidelines, which is a larger portion of the pie than what are currently designated as a level one by IDPH. I should make the point that it's sort of comparing apples and oranges here, as the service requirements under the AAP guidelines are not the same as the current requirements under the perinatal code in Illinois. There were also 44% of our facilities that were estimated to be a level two under Locate, 12% were estimated to be a level three, and 6% were estimated to be a level four. And the next slide goes through some more details for these results. So as we think about the differences between our system and the AAP guidelines, the first is that AAP establishes a level four, which is a subspecialty center that would be capable of caring for infants with very complex needs, such as cardiac surgery. And there were seven Illinois hospitals estimated by Locate to meet the criteria for a level four neonatal facility. These hospitals were located in both the Chicago and St. Louis areas. Another finding that emerged from LOCATE is that some of our current Level 3 hospitals may not meet the AAP Level 3 requirements, and the main difference was that some facilities indicated that they did not have a neonatologist on site, and this personnel availability impacted their ability to be classified as a Level 3 under the LOCATE results. However, even if the LOCATE results were true and were adopted in some way in the future for our levels of care, or the AAP personnel requirements were adopted in this way, geographic access to a Level 3 facility would not change for Illinois patients. And what I mean by that is that when you take a look at the residential zip codes of babies who are born throughout the state, the percent who reside within 50 miles of a Level 3 facility would remain consistent if you look at our current system versus those facilities that were classified as a Level 3 or 4 under LOCATE. It's also worth noting, as has been mentioned, that the AAP levels do not include Level 2E, so facilities at this level would either be classified as a Level 2 or a Level 3 under the AAP guidelines. The LOCATE results indicated that Level 2s were mostly having their level of care be estimated as a 2 by the survey. LOCATE also showed that many of our current Level 2 facilities may not meet the AAP Level 2 requirements, and the main difference here, or the main reason for that, is a lack of a staff neonatologist. A neonatologist is not required in the Illinois Perinatal Code for Level 2 facilities, but it is a component of the personnel that are mentioned in the AAP statement on Level 2 facilities. And as we think about geographic access or geographic variation, Level 2 facilities outside the Chicago area were more likely to receive a LOCATE score of Level 1 because of the lack of a neonatologist on staff. So lastly, I'll just share a few brief results about the impact of levels of care. And we've wanted to look at how levels of care impact health outcomes and have looked at neonatal mortality rates based on the place of delivery. Neonatal mortality is the death of an infant within the first 28 days of life. And we have used birth and death certificates to be able to compare mortality rates by level of care. So on slide 14, I show the overall impact of risk-appropriate care, or having ensuring that the smallest babies, very low birth weight babies, are born in higher level facilities. Overall, those very low birth weight babies born in lower level facilities had higher mortality rates, whether you consider it under the current Illinois levels of care or the LOCATE results. So for instance, in our current system, a very low birth weight baby born in a Level 2 facility has a 300% increase in the risk of neonatal mortality compared to infants born in a Level 3. Additionally, very low birth weight infants born in a Level 2E facility had 150% higher risk of neonatal mortality than those born in a Level 3. I couldn't assess Level 1s in our current system because there are very few Level 1 facilities and not high enough numbers of the highest risk babies to be able to do the analysis. And when you do the same analysis by the LOCATE neonatal levels of care, similar patterns emerge, but we see a really strong relationship between being born in a Level 1 facility, that there's nearly a 500% increase in neonatal mortality compared to a Level 4. And we also see sort of this pattern where Level 2 facilities had increased neonatal mortality compared to a Level 4 as well. We've also looked specifically at certain services and personnel and examined how variation even within our current levels of care could impact neonatal outcomes. And slide 15 just gives one example of how neonatology services impact neonatal mortality. So for instance, there's variation in the availability of neonatologists within our current IDPH level 3 facilities. And neonatal mortality rates for very low birth weight infants were 60% higher when the birth facility did not have an on-site neonatologist. We also looked within the 2 and 2E facilities. And again, there's some variation here because some of these facilities have a neonatologist on staff and some do not. Neonatal mortality rates for low birth weight infants in 2 and 2E facilities were 150% higher when the birth facility did not have a neonatologist on staff. So those are some examples of the analyses that have been done to inform the process as we've reviewed our current system. This is only a small snapshot of what I've done, and much more extensive data reports have been prepared for the State Levels of Care Task Force and the Perinatal Advisory Committee, and I'm happy to share more detailed findings with anyone who is interested. And lastly, I just wanted to talk about next steps for LOCATE. We plan to provide hospital information sheets to facilities. Because all of our facilities participated and took the time out of their busy schedules to complete the tool, we want to make sure we're giving information back to facilities. So I'm currently working on a template of an information sheet that can go to each individual facility that would give an overview of LOCATE, much of examples of the things that I've already shared with you today, that would give a description of that facility's own specific LOCATE results. It would give the estimated LOCATE levels of care for both neonatal and maternal, and it would give a description of the reasons for the LOCATE level classification and how the algorithm played out for that specific facility. It would also provide a comparison to the levels of care that the hospital predicted that they would be. There were questions on the survey that asked the person completing it to estimate what level they thought their facility would be under the AAP statement or under the ACOG statement. So sort of comparing how well did that person guess at those levels, and then also providing hospitals resources and more detailed documentation about the AAP and ACOG levels of care. And I'm hoping that the estimated release date for these information sheets would be mid-March of this year. And after that time, when the sheets are released, we will also have a mechanism for hospitals to ask questions and have a more detailed discussion on their own results if it's something that would be of interest. As we think about the intent and the purpose of LOCATE, the purpose of these information sheets is not to tell hospitals what their level would be under a revised Illinois perinatal system. That's not it at all. It's more to generate discussion about the levels of care and the resources and personnel in their own facility, and for hospitals to begin examining how their own services align with the AAP and ACOG policy statements and sort of where they would envision wanting their services to be under any sort of revised system. So that is all from me, and I'll turn it back over to the moderator. I think at this time we're ready for questions.
Thank you very much, Amanda, and Director Sean, Dr. Batten, for those great presentations. We really appreciate the information. We have a little bit less than 20 minutes for a Q&A, so Dagma, if you want to questions, that would be great.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Questions will be taken in the order they were received. If at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing 1. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Okay, and we have a question in from Barbara Martin with Vista Health System. Please state your question.
The question is, when you talked at the earlier part of the call, you talk about these different levels, but that they're not going to be in place for many years. When you say many years, what does that mean? because then at this point we're held under the current levels, you know, 1, 2, 2E, 3, et cetera. How long do you see that by years?
This is Nirav Shah. You know, you're correct. For now, until we introduce any of the changes into the code, the current system will, the status quo, if you will be in place. We anticipate that the stakeholder work groups and the writing, the actual wholesale rewriting of the code, will probably take perhaps a year, maybe even a bit longer. And then the process of having those code changes approved by a committee of the General Assembly may also take 6 to 8 months. Allowing some time in the joints, we think the entire process could take approximately 2 years before the 2012 AAP guidelines are fully in place and online.
Okay, our next question comes from Dr. Paula Malone from Loyola University. Please state your question.
Yes. I'm maternal fetal medicine at Loyola, and I also serve on the Illinois Maternal Mortality Committee and have done so for 8 years or so now. My question is, Amanda, on the data from the LOCATE, were you able to compare any extrapolated data from the actual neonatal mortality or neonatal morbidity from the actual data that we have from all our hospitals? And which one worked, which one was really a better reflection?
Dr. Malone, can you clarify a little bit? When you say the extrapolated data, you're referring to reports of neonatal mortality that come from the hospital.
Was the assumption, because you've asked 10 questions for peds and 11 questions for OB, does the actual data that is given to the state, does it compare well with the LOCATE data, or are there significant differences? And if there are, what are those differences?
So in terms of the neonatal mortality that I referenced, some of the outcome analyses that have been done, I used the vital records, so the filing of death certificate for infants, which, and I have not compared to the direct reporting that comes from hospitals through the perinatal mortality forms.
Mm-hmm.
The death certificates, we would believe, would be fairly complete in capturing neonatal deaths and would also allow us to capture even babies who, you know, may have died in a facility different from where they were born or died at home all the way out through the first 28 days of life. So that's the source that I've used up to this point, and I have not compared to the direct reports that come in from hospitals. And I've not yet been able to do the analysis on maternal outcomes, which, as you know, is can be tricky. And thankfully, maternal mortality is rare, but that also leads to difficulty in examining that as an outcome for some type of analysis like this. But does that answer your question?
I think it does. And I just have a last comment is that I very much am impressed with all the groundwork that you even started, the footwork before the actual process, before the race. I would respectfully request that if I don't get to be a member, and I don't know if I would be in the running, but if I don't get to be a member, I would respectfully request that the people who do get to be members on these committees really keep in mind ACOG's recommendations, which are not necessarily the same. They're a little different, and they're more recent, reaffirmed in 2016, so they're not even a year old, the recommendations for maternal care throughout the state, or maternal care in general, the regionalization of maternal care, and how they qualify maternal issues is different than pediatric. And we can't just it's very important to focus on the babies, but we also have to kind of do it in conjunction. If we get better maternal care, we may indeed get better baby outcomes.
This is Bo Batten, and yeah. I think we very much echo those sentiments. That's well said, and that's certainly what we're striving to do.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, our next question comes from Robin Winky from Presence Covenant. Please state your question.
Hi, my question is that moving forward until all of these changes take place, if we would be scheduled for a site visit, what will be the expectation as far as site visits and stuff until all of these changes occur?
Hi, this is Shannon Leitner with IDPH. Everything is status quo until the changes occur. The rule is as it is, and we will do the site visit per the rule and per everything you're under the assumption you'll be experiencing. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me directly or to one of our nurses, either Trishna or Miranda, whoever you've been dealing with to prepare for your site visit, or your administrator perinatal center.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our next question comes from Michael Fitzgerald with Pets Neonatology. Please state your question.
Yeah, hi. First of all, thank you, IHA, for getting this call together. You're always at the forefront of really trying to include everyone and keep everyone informed. I'm just going to list off four things, thoughts. There's way more to go into. Obviously, as the director said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. What year or years was the mortality data from? Are we still attributing deaths to the birthing hospital, regardless of whether a baby was transferred from that level 2-1, 2-E, et cetera, to the level 3? What were the two states that used locate? Because it said it was only tested in two, and you made a reference of we were the first big state to try it. And I would just urge everyone on the listening audience, who I think most would be very well aware of this, including Dr. Malone, who spoke. And by the way, I would love to see the maternal and neonatal done simultaneously, because I think it gets everybody to the table and all interested, as opposed to just doing neonatal code, because I don't think they're separable, especially when we're trying to have our ACT initiatives, et cetera, with maternal steroids. But why have I not heard any mention of Vaughn database standardization, which so many of us hospitals participate in, and ILPQC best practice inclusive criteria to bring everyone up to a standard of care, as opposed to looking at more ways to, create levels of care, which have lots of things, as I know it's not being talked about today, but associated with them in addition to just quality of care. Thank you.
Hi, this is Amanda. I'll answer some of your questions specifically about locate. As for the year of data for the neonatal mortality, it was 2014 data. I am currently awaiting the finalization of the 2015 birth certificates, and once those that should be very soon. Once that occurs, I'll be adding that in as a second year of data and redoing the analysis with the larger sample sizes and case numbers to see, you know, if the results remain the same. I will say that even with only 1 year of data in the initial analysis, I was surprised at the consistency in the patterns that emerged and the strong statistical significance despite small sample sizes. You asked about whether deaths were attributed to the birth hospital regardless of transfer, and the answer was yes, they were attributed to the birth hospital. I did another level of analysis where I compared babies that had been transported to a level 3 versus babies. I did one analysis where I compared of the babies born in a level 3, those that presented initially at a level 3 versus those where the mother was presented at a different hospital and was transported to the level 3 prior to delivery. in that analysis, there was no difference between the neonatal outcomes for those babies, sort of showing that as long as you got them to the level three, the outcomes were consistent. It's been a little tricky to try to compare of those babies born in the lower level facilities, how transport impacts outcomes, because there's a lot of case severity factors that go into whether a baby has an opportunity to be transported. So it's something I've been considering and looking into, but haven't been able to fully account for some of those case mix factors yet. As for the states that field tested locate prior to us using it, it was Oklahoma and North Carolina. North Carolina does have a regionalized perinatal system somewhat similar to Illinois, from what I understand, though perhaps not as formalized in the state code. There's many other states currently using it. We are just sort of farther along in the analysis of it. I think those are the questions that I can answer that you had.
This is Shannon. As for your questions about Vaughn and ILPQC, we at IDPH work very closely with ILPQC on their initiatives and sit on their leadership team and meet with them regularly. But what we're talking about today is what IDPH has authority to do, and that's regulate the levels of care. And right now we do regulate and designate those levels, and we need to update those. So rest assured, we work with ILPQC on all of their quality initiatives, but we also need to update how we designate these levels of care and how we regulate them. And so that's what we're talking about today.
Am I still on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all I was going to say is similar to what Dr. Malone asked about, I would be interested, too, in really trying to tease out the problem of, and you don't have to answer this right now, Amanda, but be looking at obviously there is an underserved or decreased served major hole in part of the state, and then there is a better served or more immediately available care in the metropolitan Chicago, maybe the metropolitan Champaign-Urbana, Peoria, et cetera. And I would be curious at some point to see how some of that morbidity, mortality data and outcome data is in those areas versus some of the areas that are also by the locate qualifying as level 2 or 2E, probably not 2E so much, but 2s in the less accessible areas. I think that might be interesting and also might shed some light. But what concerns me is some of these numbers and percentages of increase. I'm not doubting what Amanda has done, but to Dr. Malone's point, we have M&M data, and we have Vermont Oxford data at most of the metropolitan area hospitals. And it's very interesting that we benchmark, I think most of the hospitals up in Chicago, I can speak to several of them, benchmark in the extremely high percentiles of Vaughn survival rates and data. And so it just, I don't know where the disconnect is between mortality data here in the state and some of the things that with some of the hospitals where we do subscribe to Vaughn and benchmark. But thank you very much for the answers, and I look forward to working with everyone in whatever capacity I can.
So this is Bo Batten, and I think a detailed description of that data is kind of beyond the scope of today. There are some interesting findings, and access to care is certainly an issue, but it isn't the whole picture. There are many hospitals in the Chicagoland area whose mortality rates are not what you would perhaps expect for small babies. When it comes to Vaughn data, remember, it's all about what you report, and oftentimes the Vaughn data is reporting inborn births, not outborn births, or not necessarily outborn births. And so sometimes things get a little lost in the weeds. This is all going to be stuff we can go over at a later time and date, input from people such as yourselves who want to be about part of the process is very much going to be welcomed.
I really thank you all. I really do, and I look forward to it.
Okay, and our next question is, this looks like the final question, from Lori Harper with Advocate Roman. Please state your question.
Hi. My question is this. Do you have a plan for communication and collaboration between those five work groups so that they're not working in isolation?
Yeah, this is Shannon. So the chair of all of the work groups will be a PAC member, so that any, because we know there will be issues in trying to make this work across the work groups, so that when the PAC meets quarterly, the work groups can then bring the issues that they're working on, the work group chairs, to the PAC and for discussion in an open meetings environment where we can kind of iron out some of those duplications or areas of crossover. So that way we know what's going on with all the different work groups.
Okay, and we have another question that actually just came in from Nastasia Ujic from Rush University. Please state your question.
Hi, this is Natasha. I was just wondering, for the working group participation, can you tell us in terms of discipline who exactly you're looking for? So would you like physicians to participate, nursing, administrators, and so on?
This is Shannon again. I would say all of the above. I mean, we need folks in trying to discern what is a level three versus a level four. We do need some clinicians and we need some nursing staff. I think administrators, I would be less inclined to, unless they really understand 640 and understand the resource requirements, maybe less inclined to take, but I think maybe one or two administrators. Given the small numbers of folks that we're working with, we really need folks who understand what makes a level three versus a level four, and same thing with a level one versus level two. Transfers, designation, site visits, it just depends on the work group. But we just need folks who are going to actually get to work. We're expecting these work groups to meet every other month at the very least, if not every month, for the next year. And one of the reasons that groups are so small is that with Open Meetings Act, we need a quorum to be able to do business. So we need folks to actually show up and do the work and show up consistently. So we'll take all the expertise we can get, and when we get all the CVs, the PAC will help us look at who signed up for each work group and where their expertise lies and kind of what we feel we need for each of the work groups.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there are no further questions in the queue.
Well, that's perfect timing because it's 2 o'clock. Well, I want to thank you, everybody, for joining the call. I also, again, want to thank Director Shaw and Dr. Batten and Shannon and Amanda for taking time out of their schedule today. If there are any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to contact me at IHA, or Shannon Leitner has graciously agreed to be a contact at Public Health should you have questions about these issues going forward. IHA is going to be very involved in this process and have been working closely with IDPH so far, and we continue to look forward for this working relationship over the next couple of years. So that concludes our call, and thank you very much.